Hello, hello. Welcome to Melinda Chats. We are chatting today with Mac, and he is going to tell us a little bit about ADHD and that discovery. Mac has also been with us before. We talked about working with men in counseling. And so I'm going to give him just a minute to kind of introduce yourself and say kind of where you're at and what you're doing. And then we'll jump into some of the mixture of ADHD.
Yeah, you know, my name's Mac Taylor. I'm an LPC associate here in the Dallas area. And, you know, last time we talked about men's mental health, that's one of my specialties, one of my research interests areas. And also to the ADHD, and especially adult ADHD. That's something that I've worked with and studied a lot and dealt with a lot, both professionally and personally. And so it's another area of interest and area of specialty for me.
Well, yes. And whenever we did the other podcast, there were some of the things that I did want to ask this, because I do know that you have a lot of background in researching and exploring and working with clients with ADHD and, you know, as you know, me too, you know, like it's the same thing, you know, and this adult acknowledgement of some of these things that weren't picked up on. And so I was very intrigued and excited to have you back just to share some of your thoughts and some of the reasons why you started researching it and what you found and any direction that you want to go with it. You know, I always got questions, but I always kind of like to hear kind of where it started from, like the desire to understand ADHD.
Yeah. You know, my personal interest in ADHD is my personal story. I had, you know, kind of always been an energetic kid, but never, you know, anyone ever thought I was ADHD or that was never a thing. I was never diagnosed or treated or anything like that as a kid. You know, it was also in the 90s and it was known about and aware of, but maybe less so than it is now. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, you know, I went through and graduated high school with probably the lowest GPA I could get and still graduate. Just because I was like, you know what? I don't like doing homework. I don't like doing this thing. If I can't finish it in class, I'm just not going to do it. You know, and I did great on all my tests. So I passed all my classes, but I didn't get great grades. And then after that, I was like, I'm done with school. Didn't want to do it. Spent about a decade, you know, working out in the world, building a career, and then found something that really motivated me and really interested me. Ended up going through undergrad. Loved undergrad because I could study what I wanted to and didn't have to take a ton of other classes that I didn't want to. Almost didn't make it through to graduate on time, though, because I pushed off all my math classes till the last possible second, but made it through, graduated, great grades, honors, all that stuff, got into a fully funded PhD program in my field, went to the PhD program, and the professor that I wanted to work with left. And so I was stuck basically studying the other stuff that I wasn't so interested in, but that I was willing to get through to do the stuff I wanted. But all of a sudden now I couldn't do the stuff I wanted. So it was just the other stuff. And I started really struggling with school. Grades took a dive. My motivation took a huge dive. And eventually, you know, after seeing some things and having talked to some people and being recommended, I thought, okay, well, people are saying this sounds like ADHD. Maybe I'll go to a doctor and just see what a doctor thinks. You know, let a professional decide, because I don't know. I don't think I'm an ADHD kid. I was never, you know, the stereotype of little kid running all over the place crazy. Mm-hmm. So I went to the doctor, spent about 5 minutes asking me questions. He went, oh, yeah, sounds like ADHD. Let's try this medication. And put me on Adderall. Didn't really help. Didn't do much for me. So I thought, well, that's it. I'm not ADHD, because otherwise the medication would help. And it wasn't until maybe a year or two later, you know, I still struggling through this grad program trying to finish up, but I saw some stuff online, some memes, some information, some, you know, it was a story about a woman and her son. And she was fighting every day to get her son ready for school. And every morning she was like, come on, get ready. You know what you have to do. You know what you have to do. Get ready. And finally, you know, the doctor told her, well, it's this executive dysfunction thing. Try this. And so she went home and basically took a picture of her son ready for school, standing there dressed, backpack on, ready to go. And she drew out a little diagram. She said, this is your backpack. Put in all your books. Make sure you have this, this, and this. Make sure you have clean socks, clean underwear, get a pair of pants and a shirt. Do all this stuff. And she basically just spelled it out exactly what she expected every morning. And the problem was solved like that. You know, he was able to get up, do what he needed to do, get himself done. And it was her just basically saying, you know, I thought he was stubborn. I thought he was lazy. I thought he was having all these problems. But just this, just presenting the information in the way that worked for him changed it. And I thought, like, wow, that's me. You know, I always need to see the finished product. I always need to see these things. And so at that point, I started taking a little more seriously and started doing some research. At that point, that's where I came to say, like, wow, once I get past the stereotype, once I get past the general pop culture idea of what this thing is, this explains so much about my life and this explains so much about me. And so that's where the research started. And then once I kind of identified these things in me, I started to see it everywhere and thought about all these people I knew in life and in my history and in my past. And I'm like, wow, yeah, look at this. Look at this range of people who just maybe had no idea what was going on because no one ever presented them with the correct, accurate information. And there's so little information about adults. You know, no one gave them any information about what this looks like in an adult versus a hyperactive child, for example.
Okay, so expand on that a little bit. What are some thoughts on, like, I know and you know, but kind of share, you know, with everybody that's listening or watching this, you know, a little bit about adult characteristics and things that you start whenever you started your research that you found very powerful. Like I did the stereotypical for myself was very confusing for me because but once I got into thought processing and how my brain worked, that's whenever it registered to me. Okay, wait a minute. Yes. You know, like I need to look at this more seriously too. But kind of expand a little bit about on the adult characteristics that maybe people don't identify and say, give credit to or validity to, is that it might possibly be that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was kind of brushing up on my handy dandy DSM-5 here before we got started.
We just both have tabs.
Yeah. I told you I got the tabs. The tabs save your life.
Yes.
But looking at just some of the diagnostic information for ADHD and, one of the things it mentions is that, you know, it's about 5% of children on average and about 2.5% of adults. And I always think that's a funny statistic and really misleading because where do the other 2.5% of us go? Do we just not grow up? Like, and there's, you know, people will talk about curing ADHD, but the thing that I learned through my research is that it's not a disease. It's not a curable thing. It's just a particular way of wiring a human brain.
Yes.
And so you can't rewire or dewire your brain. So where are the other 2.5% of these ADHD kids going? And it's so much less recognized in adults and so much less paid attention to and given serious consideration. Because as you grow up, especially if you are undiagnosed, what you learn is you learn coping strategies. You learn the tricks, you learn the tips to make it so that you can get through life. So for example, you know, a common ADHD trait is misplacing things, right? Car keys, cell phone, whatever. That's a big thing. And so when I went in there for my ADHD assessment or what have you, they were like, well, do you ever misplace things? And I said, no, I don't, because I have a system. I have a particular way that I do things every single day. My keys go in the same place every single day. They go in the same pocket every single day because otherwise I would lose them. But so when you think like, oh, losing stuff, I don't lose stuff all the time. Well, why is that? Because I did used to lose stuff and it used to drive me crazy. And so I developed systems and I developed coping strategies. And as an adult and as a young person with the pressures of life on you, you have to figure out ways to survive. And so by the time you reach adulthood, you have adopted so many tricks and so many strategies and so many coping methods of getting through life that it can mask a lot of the presentation of ADHD that maybe are the more stereotypical things, or maybe are some of the things that are looking at. So there's no fewer ADHD adults out there. In fact, I would wager that there are far more than 5% of the population is at least neurodiverse in some way. Mm-hmm. But it's just such an underrepresented and misunderstood thing that you know, people miss it and people don't really consider. You know, and there's so much pressure on the individual. You know, they think these are my individual failings. I'm lazy. I'm stupid.
They internalize it. Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't think about it as just a fundamental mismatch between the way our brain works and the expectations on us. We think about it as a personal failing. And that's really damaging. And you find that a lot in therapy. People will come in with these things and you go, you know what? Have we looked down this avenue? The work I'm doing now is a lot of work with addicted people with addictions, you know, and addicted people. And a lot of them stumble into addiction through self-medicating.
Yes.
Undiagnosed ADHD.
Yes. And I'm glad. And I'm glad to know that, you know, you're working with that particular community and with this knowledge and this background, because yes, you know, addiction, once the choice is there, you know, the choice is made to pick up something, then, you know, the brain and the addictive behavior kicks in, right? But that choice and figuring out, okay, wait a minute, these are the things that are happening. And this isn't because I'm a horrible person or anything. This is actually because my brain is just wired differently, not wrong, just differently. And I'm consuming information differently, and I don't have the skills that I need to process through it. Therefore, bad coping skills come in because those are the quick fixes, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so many people end up like, oh, I tried this substance and my brain felt quiet, or I tried this substance and I was finally able to get through this thing that I had been dreading, you know, doing and had been unable to get myself to do. And so that becomes an adaptive strategy that, you know, might get you through whatever thing is with you in that moment, right? Get you through that situation, but then you're stuck and it maybe becomes a maladaptive strategy later on, where the thing that helped you is now harming you. And now you're stuck with this cycle that basically you can't get out of without needing a lot of external help.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Whenever you do talk with individuals and you're kind of picking up on some of these characteristics and asking questions, do you notice, and I noticed this with my clientele too, do you notice that like a sense of relief whenever you do start to talk about the conversation and they're connecting stuff? I can actually see like the energy kind of release of like, oh my God, wait a minute. I thought this was just totally something that I was doing wrong, you know?
Absolutely. And it's also kind of a conflicted process because there is so much stigma and misunderstanding about ADHD that when you suggest what you're telling me is this, there's a part of them that goes, oh my God, you know, you mean that I'm not stupid. I'm not broken. I'm not lazy. I'm not bad. But then there's also, but I'm not this thing. This thing, this isn't me. This doesn't match me. This doesn't sound like me. So there's the resistance, but also the kind of the spark of recognition and that kind of like jump of enthusiasm to be like, you mean it's not me? There might be an explanation for this. You know, I had a woman who came through my work and she was there for psychological services. You know, she was really struggling with depression and anxiety and wanted some assistance. And so we were going through some things. And one of the first things that she said to me kind of out the bat was, I am so smart. I am so smart and people don't even know it. And it was this frustration, you know, even in just trying to convey what was going on and what her, you know, what had brought her to me, what had pushed her to seek out help. She couldn't convey it because she didn't have the right words for it. You know, she's like, I know what's going on in here, but what's going on here doesn't translate to out there. And I can't make this concrete out in the world. I can't translate it from in my head to my actions out in the world. Mm-hmm. And she struggled so much with that. But just with that one little bit of information, her trying to convey that, you know, I said, yeah, I know what that is. I know what's going on there. I know what you're experiencing because I've been there too. And of course, I didn't just outright, you know, say, well, you've got ADHD, obviously.
Correct. Yes.
Because there's resistance. And so as she and I were having this conversation, it eventually came up. It's like, oh, yeah, when I was younger, they thought it was maybe this. And then it was, but it wasn't this. And it wasn't that. And another thing, too, is that there's such an issue with women being underdiagnosed, not recognized, because they typically present a little differently. But when I started to explain it to her and started to explain some of these differences and started to identify some things and make some conjectures and say, well, have you ever experienced this? And she went, oh my God, yes, yes, all the time, yes. There was that sense of relief because it was like being seen. Mm-hmm. You know, someone was recognizing her for who she was for the first time and not for her mistakes and not for her, you know, carelessness, and not for her inattentiveness, and not for her zoning out. And they weren't recognizing these traits in her as failings and as things that she needed to correct, but was recognizing them as, this is natural, this is common, this is entirely understandable and explainable, and it's not because you're stupid, dumb, lazy, bad, broken, etc. And that sense of relief, you know, that sense of being seen is so powerful.
It is. And it's that transition where they kind of engage with the possibility that they're okay. They just need to start acknowledging the way their brain works instead of, you know, society's need of the way it needs to work kind of thing, and starting to set up, you know, and we do, a lot of adults do not get diagnosed because they've already learned a system to function in. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's changing, you know, the more and more that we kind of go, I think that questions and doctors are starting to engage a little bit differently with that, so that way adult ADHD is recognized, at least with ones that I've spoken with. You know, I think that there's just been growth in the field. And I definitely know that I look for those characteristics anyway, but I am kind of a little bit dumbfounded by how many times it does lead back to ADHD. Mm-hmm. And I find that it's like, wow, like we just put stigma on this, and we put this one type that it can be. And then if it's not that, then there's no help for you, you know? So, yeah.
And for all the listeners who may not know, you know, there's, like we've been mentioning, there's the stereotype of ADHD, right? It's the hyperactive little boy, can't sit still, can't stop talking, who's running around, who's bouncing off the walls, you know, or the squirrel thing, you know, you can't talk to someone for more than 5 seconds, squirrel, you know, and that's the kind of stereotype that people have of ADHD. But that's one of three possible presentations. You know, there is the hyperactive presentation. There's also the inattentive. And that's the one that goes so frequently undiagnosed and misdiagnosed, where it is these things like, you know, not being instantly distracted by a squirrel, but maybe not being fully present in a moment. Maybe things like the people who sit there and doodle in class all day rather than jumping up and causing a scene, because they're not causing a scene and because their work is probably getting done and they, you know, they're probably meeting their expectations and things like that. They go missed and underdiagnosed. And that's such a common thing for women, particularly, who have that particular presentation, go their entire lives because they have all these coping strategies in place that they're never, ever noticed for who and what they are in that regard. And then there's also a combined type. And that's me personally. I'm the combined type, you know, elements of the hyperactivity, elements of the inattentiveness, but there's three different ways that it could present. And so the stereotype is a very limited and not very accurate view of the, you know, of the condition. And there's also this idea that it is, you know, some dysfunction or something that can be cured or, you know, something like that. But it's just kind of a square peg, round hole situation.
Correct. No, and I'm glad that you touched on those for the listeners, because I do think that in general, we do not have enough of an understanding of it. And that's with a lot of different things. But ADHD does, it's such an underlining kind of struggle that people have that do not get acknowledged. So it doesn't get, I don't want to say dealt with, but it doesn't get seen. Sorry. I was trying to think of the word and I'm like, it just doesn't get seen. And you are correct. With females, it is even harder to get that diagnosis, to get that acknowledgement of that there might be something else. You know, it's the dingy or the this or the that, and, you know, and sometimes it is so minimized. And then by the time that you do get to that place as an adult and someone says, hey, kind of like you said with, you know, with this person, then there's been so much self-worth and self-value, you know, diminished. It's something that then now the journey is to start healing, you know, and start learning systems that work, but not because you're broken, to hide it, but because they work for you, because this is the way that your brain works. That's powerful.
And such a big part of it too, is that the name is so terrible. You know, ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, right? You know, that kind of evolved from ADD, which is the old term, which is no longer used here in the US, but you know, you still hear people say it, but that's just attention deficit disorder. And as anyone who has ADHD can tell you, it's not that you have a lack of attention. You know, there's a thing called hyperfocus, where a person can lock in to a particular thing and they won't think about anything else for hours. You know, I've got, you'll miss meals, you'll miss going to the bathroom, you won't even notice when people are trying to talk to you and have attention to you because your focus is so locked in. So it's not a deficiency of attention, you have plenty of attention. It's just what captures it and how it's used is different. And then again, you put the hyperactivity in the name when only, you know, one third of the people with ADHD are regularly hyperactive. You know, and that's just one of the features of the hyperactive presentation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just they're spotlighting such a small thing, but that's the part that gets the attention because that's the loudest, biggest, most dynamic and moving part.
Right.
But there's been some work to rename it just because A, it's stigmatized, and B, it's inaccurate. You know, and there's a lot of things. I think one that I see online quite a bit is Dave, you know, which is like dopamine attention variability, something like
that. Oh, I hadn't seen that. I have to look that up.
There's a few different names that people have proposed and nothing that's big, but the name ADHD is such a misnomer too. And so that's all part of the process, is that there's such a poor understanding of it. And even the clinical understanding of it is so poor. And like we've been talking about, mostly relegated to how to get little kids to sit still in school and pay attention. And beyond that small thing, right, beyond getting in that one little hole, there's so little research and so little information and so few resources out there, which is part of what brought that into my practice, you know, and brought that into a place of specialty, is I wanting to be a resource for people like me who didn't even know what was going on until, you know, smacked them upside the head and they were in a crisis, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with that said, what are some resources that you feel like because I do feel like you have tons of knowledge, and I do enjoy talking to you about this because, you know, it is awesome to hear a clinician who brings, you know, this kind of like love and passion to the table, and like not just for yourself and understanding, but also like, hey, there's a bigger picture. Let's look at this bigger picture. And so breaking that, what are some of the things like resource-wise that you feel like have been valuable? You know, are there any that you found that you would want to share? Are any that you'd want us to put in the bio or anything? Because anything that we can add to, I want to bring it to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that I found is I started looking for information about ADHD, and particularly adult ADHD. And when you're looking at the ADHD literature, the vast majority of it is dealing with childhood ADHD.
Yes.
There's very little out there for adults. Most of the literature out there is written for clinicians, not for people with ADHD. So it is about the treating and the identifying and the maintenance, and it's written from an outside perspective, and it's not how to live your day-to-day life and develop strategies that work for you. So it's about children. It's not for the people that it affects. It's not written by people that have it.
So correct.
And, you know, with all this stuff, it's a lot of the way it's presented is so ADHD unfriendly, right? You know, a big scientific study that's dry, and even if you're interested in it, feels like sandpaper to read, yes, is not going to be an accessible form of information for someone who has ADHD. And so I learned so much. The bulk of my knowledge came just online looking at memes. You know, there's a couple of Instagrams that I follow. I'll put some, we can put some in the show notes. You know, one of my favorites is ADHD Actually on Instagram. And it's a woman down in Australia who, same, you know, she's, I believe, in her 30s, you know, kind of developed this thing as an adult, and kind of just one day a couple years ago started this Instagram. It's kind of said, here I am, world. you know, here's what I've learned, here's what I know, here's what my personal experience is. And it resonated with so many people that it blew up. And she has so many good resources and so many, like, she does really cute drawings and animations and infographics, and they're super accessible. And oh, it just, I learned so much there. But that was giving me a starting point to do some of the more serious research and the more academic stuff and the drier stuff. Is once I had this kind of basic vocabulary and the basic building blocks of even understanding what ADHD was, you know, once I knew what executive dysfunction was, I could research executive function. You know, once I learned about short-term memory and the way that ADHD brains process short-term memory differently, then I could do research into memory and into, you know, the hippocampus and things like that, and the temporal lobe and the way decisions are affected by it. You can do those kind of things, but literally all I knew about ADHD was like, okay, kids are hyper.
And isn't that, you know, I know we're both clinicians. This is, you know, but isn't it sad that even in our world, our personal world, you know, that journey just took so long, and all this studying and all this, consuming of mental health and information and those things. Mm-hmm. And then, like for myself, it was whenever, you know, COVID and then some, you know, just life after, you know, putting everything back together after COVID and everything. And so I know that I hit this wall where none of my strategies worked anymore. Like none of my systems worked. And that's whenever I was like, okay, I don't know that I'm seeing this correct, you know? And so that's kind of been that journey for me really recently. And so, anyway, I think that that's awesome. And I am glad that you mentioned these things and that your journey is taking you to the more, and I'm hoping that you kind of expand. Like, I think that you do have, you know, the way to articulate things that maybe your journey will be to put something in, you know, writing and start to add to this research, because that would be awesome, you know, for you and for others, because you make it tangible. You make it understandable. I can listen to you and I can connect on both the clinician's aspect and then also the personal aspect. And that's a gift. Not everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully you will be adding to research and that kind of stuff and become a resource maybe to someone else through podcasts, through writing, through whatever it ends up being. But I do think that it's something that you bring to the table authenticity with it. And then you also connect knowledge to it.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because that's something that is interesting and, you know, I think is absolutely needed and would love to do. But then there's also part of the ADHD is the imposter syndrome-y kind of feelings where you're like, well, who would want to hear what I have to say? But, you know, I found a few ADHD support groups through Facebook that I've joined. And one of the other things is oftentimes people will get diagnosed with this thing as a child. They'll be medicated, but they'll never be taught strategies. They'll never be taught what it means. They'll never be taught how their brain functions differently so that they can comprehend these things. And so 90% of these support groups is this an ADHD thing or a me thing? Is this an ADHD thing or am I lazy? Is this an ADHD thing or am I just weird with food textures? Is this an ADHD thing or am I just really angry all the time? You know, is this ADHD or am I too emotional? Mm-hmm. And the answer to almost all those questions is yes, that's super common, not just in ADHD, but, you know, along the spectrum of neurodiversity, anything that's outside the neurotypical, you can identify lots of these patterns. And, you know, people just aren't told. There's not that information out there, and there's not information for us to understand and to, you know, work into our lives. You know, there are a few books that are out there, but like I said, they're not very friendly. They're not very accessible. And they're written by experts in the field, not people with lived experience.
Correct. Well, maybe, you know, maybe you will be one that writes something that is completely connected to both sides.
Maybe someday.
Because I do think that it's important. I think that you're right. There aren't a whole lot of those resources. So that's why I did want you to hop on with me and just share some knowledge and kind of start this, you know, this conversation about ADHD. And you know what? I thought that they changed it to ADD with hyperactivity. I'm going to have to go look it up. Did they switch it back? So maybe I'm thinking of the before and okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to go
that
back.
Was the previous one was the ADD, and then you could be the subtype with hyperactivity.
Because
then they got rid of that completely, and then they made it all ADHD. But that's still not a good name, and it still doesn't represent the actual day-to-day experience and presentation of most of the people.
Correct. That's why I'm a little bit disappointed, because I think my brain had flip-flopped it. And I was like, well, at least that's a little bit, you know, I mean, at least we're now understanding that there's more perspective of it, you know, as far as like there are different types and presentations. And so, but anyway, I think that you are incredible. And I'm so excited that you joined us. Is there anything else about like resources or anything like that? You know, we can always drop them for those of you that are listening or watching on YouTube. We'll put them in the little bio. Is there anything that you want to add to it?
October is ADHD Awareness Month. You know, when we're recording this, I don't know when it'll come out, if it'll come out during the course of the month. But so I've been trying to put out, you know, as much ADHD related content as I can. And a lot of it is just memes. You know, a lot of it's just funny stuff. And a lot of it is, you know, you'll see comments like, either you need to stop being so relatable, or I need to go talk to a doctor because I just didn't realize that these things meant something, you know. And that's what helped me realize, like, oh, these things that I just thought were individual quirks that no one ever understood are all adding up to a bigger picture. So, you know, it's ADHD Awareness Month. I'm putting out tons of content. There's tons of content out there. TikTok has got a ton of stuff with ADHD, some of it better than others. Some of it I would not recommend. There's a lot of disinformation out there too. So don't believe everything right away, but use it like I did as a starting point to do a little more research and to find out what resonates with you. And now's the time. We've got so much access. And you know, if anyone wants to get more information, they can hit me up on Instagram and I can point them to some great resources.
We'll drop your Instagram in there on the bio. It is Talk to Mac.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but it has the lines in it. And so that's why I was going to say, I'm going to put the text in there because I know that there's lines in there.
It's period. So it's talk period to the number two period Mac. But yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I was like, no, I know there's something in between there. And so I want to make sure that I put it in there, but I'll put that link in there too. Because I do. I think that that's an engagement. You know, it's just a connection to get someone thinking. And if it can get them out of kind of that dip of like, I'm just not ever going to be able to get it, it's the best connection in the world. And so I'm glad that you're doing it. And I'm glad that you're sharing information. And I'm so glad that you came back to talk about this. And I won't promise you that I won't ask you to do another one later, because I enjoy visiting with you and you're awesome. So thank you.
Well, you know where to find me. You know how to get a hold of me. And, you know, same for everyone else. Like I said, once I started posting these things, I had people from my past, I had people from high school, former coworkers reaching out and being like, hey, so I saw this thing you posted and I have questions. And I'm like, come on, let's do it. Hit me. So if people want resources, people want information, you know, my info will be in the description for them to come find me. So by all means, come find me. I'm happy to point you in the right direction.
Oh, awesome. Well, for everybody listening or watching, this is Melinda Chats, and we appreciate you hanging in and chatting with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Oh, you're so awesome. So awesome. You guys have a good day.